And welcome to our podcast, Geeks Wired, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Yeah, boy!
And me, Bill. And it's a great song.
The listener. We have the listener along for the ride.
Thank you, listeners.
You can speak along. You can podcast along with us. We're just not going to hear it.
Well, you can always call in, you know, cause, and then they can, you know, call us and be like, oh, this is what I think. Or they can email us. They can call us at 801-896-4335 or email us at geeksrewired@gmail.com. And also that phone number, you also can text to it.
Oh, hot dang. You can text stuff to it?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I know Google Voice did that.
Uh-huh. Considering it's having issues, you know, occasionally not receiving the phone calls to voicemail.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, yeah. I have it happen to me. I'm acting like it's news, but that actually happened to me.
Yeah. I ended up, like, checking. I was like, what? Because I saw, like, I can see people calling. I'm like, huh. And I'm like, I call it. I'm like, oh, that, why isn't it working? So, apparently, I'm going to have to call back if you call, if you get dead air.
And just text us. Text us what you think of the podcast, or just text whatever you think we should be saying instead and do it live without any context.
There you go.
We'll figure it out.
We'll just have to listen to the podcast, like, at, you know, point such and such.
Minute 1:40, you asked me to do something ridiculous.
Yep. There we go. Well, you also forgot there's still the song that goes in front of this, so it's like minute 1:50-ish. Well, I guess it'd be 2:20. I don't know.
Just have the bumper go over our voices at the first part. The first part wasn't very good anyway. We could just go over we could just skip our names entirely and then just have the bumping song in front of it.
There we go. Might do that. All right. Well, the fun stuff is... Okay, also, I should probably say this so our listeners know, we are shifting from a Friday podcast. Yes, it's Thursday, but now we're going to shift again to a Wednesday. So we are going to become a Wednesday podcast. You can still download us on Fridays and listen to us on the weekends, but now you can get us earlier.
And don't try to listen on Tuesday. That's just not going to work.
It'll just be last week's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just Tuesdays are kind of a, you know, it's a little early in the week, still waking up.
So, Bill.
Alex.
Has there been something in San Diego going on?
Apparently, 75% of their profit was happening last week.
Is that like what San Diego's GDP is, Comic-Con?
Yes, it's like half of it.
After they get done butchering whales up for hot dogs, they move on to Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. But it's actually enough that I think they guaranteed to have it for the next 3 years, even though they are over capacity. They need to move it somewhere else or build a bigger convention center, and San Diego has no place to build it.
Oof.
Yeah. So. San Diego Comic-Con happened.
It sounds like, judging by the show notes, I think a lot of San Diego Comic-Con is happening and spilling over onto YouTube.
Oh, that's the great thing about San Diego Comic-Con. You don't have to go to enjoy it.
It'd be great if you just go to San Diego Comic-Con and then you just sit in line and just watch YouTube videos of what is going on at San Diego Comic-Con. You don't actually enter any panels. You just watch streams from within the expo hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all these trailers, all this stuff went in minutes after people stood in line, because this is for Hall H stuff, and to make it into Hall H, you will destroy an entire day at San Diego Comic-Con. Won't even see anything, just be sitting in line.
That's got to be the most boring thing you could possibly do at San Diego Comic-Con.
I guess if you want...
It's going to be on YouTube in an hour.
Oh, yeah. It's not even worth it to... I just don't see it being worth it. Because you save your time, go enjoy, go talk to the vendors, go go get Funko had some really cool pops that they released. Get the special, San Diego exclusive toys and stock cards.
You know what? I've never been to San Diego, so I'm wondering if maybe if waiting in line at San Diego Comic Con is better than waiting in lines at other cons. So maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe it's totally great.
Well, for the con itself, it's probably not bad. But Hall H specifically, is the bad part.
I don't think that makes Hall A through G feel.
They're sad.
Yeah, I mean that they come up before.
But nobody cares about A through G.
Yeah. I had to go through the alphabet in my head because I couldn't just think of what letter came before H.
I know. I was even while you were.
I was like, "Is it I? No, it's not I. It's that other one that's after F."
At least you got to I. I was like, Z minus H equals. I'm screwing this up. I was also with these are just what I posted in the show notes were the trailers. Did you end up seeing where Harrison, or they were talking about the new Blade Runner movie? They had all the guests up, and somebody asked Harrison Ford. This would be fun, is you get to ask Harrison Ford the question. Did you hear what the question you got asked?
Yeah, I heard it. You should repeat the question.
So it was, is your goal to reboot all the franchises you started?
Which I thought was kind of a smart-ass question. It's yep. You blow your Harrison Ford question on basically a Twitter hot take.
Oh, yeah, but everyone's talking about it. Everyone loves it, and especially his response is even better when he goes, "You bet your ass I am."
Maybe he didn't even hear what the question was. Maybe he just replied to that just by default. He wasn't sure what the question was going to be. His hearing is on the fritz, and he decided to just make that the answer.
He's like, yeah.
It's also kind of a intellectually dishonest question because he hasn't really been in any reboots that I can think of. Because Crystal Skull is a sequel, the new Blade Runner movie is a sequel, mm-hmm. and the Star Wars is a sequel too. So yeah, none of them are reboots. They're just continuations of existing series.
And I was thinking about that too. But what he wants to do, I'm thinking, is he wants to get in all of these movies. So he can be killed off and just, he's going to be killed off in all these movies so they can't bring him back and then he can die.
That's actually a pretty good goal. Just make sure you die in as many movies as possible. Take the Bill Murray route. Just make sure if you're in a movie, you die.
Mm-hmm. Well, that means you can't bring him back. He doesn't have to worry about a phone call. Hey, remember that movie? Except for Star Wars, it didn't work out as well.
You can do a Force Ghost in Star Wars. And that's
flashbacks.
Yeah, Ghostbusters, this is inherent in Ford. It's going back to the Bill Murray theory. That wasn't such a great move because they can bring back as a literal ghost. So sometimes just killing yourself in a sequel isn't enough.
True.
Yeah, I heard that question. That kind of bummed me out. I figured that someone could accomplish something better than that.
But that was, an hour-long, because I saw the video on YouTube, an hour-long video, and that is the point that everyone has pointed out.
Also, people got to ask other questions. It wasn't just okay, he has to go back in the box now.
Yeah, no. There's
okay. Well, that makes me feel a little better. I thought that was I thought someone just blew all three genie wishes on just a crappy wish.
No, there's plenty of, actually, even Chris Hardwick, he was the, doing all the questions and monitoring everything. And he turned to Harrison Ford and was like, "So do you have any secrets you want to talk about it?" And he's like, "No." And Chris Hardwick's like, "What if I tickle it out of you?" Harrison Ford actually stands up and is like, "I dare you."
It would have been pretty great if you just started tackling him and we just got to see an old man poop himself on stage.
Well, Chris Hardwick kind of had that hand thing going and no, this is, I'm going to get my butt beat by old man Ford.
Poor old guy. He probably gets tickled a lot. Every time he rescues somebody in his helicopter, he just starts getting tickled.
Yeah.
He's had a rough go piloting, hasn't he? Maybe last year or the year before, he got a little bit of a crash, didn't he?
He's had a crash they walked away from, and then he had, not too long ago, he ended up landing on the wrong runway.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was very embarrassed about that.
Oof.
Yeah.
Poor fella.
Mm-hmm. But the trailer. What do you think?
Yeah, Blade Runner. It, I actually liked it. It had the same. It had a really similar aesthetic to the original movie, and I'll see it. Like Ridley Scott's been a turnoff lately for me. Just like I went back and watched Prometheus, and I was just appalled at how terrible it was. So I'm not too excited to see any Ridley Scott movies, but I want to give this one a chance. Like I'll be fooled like a fourth time for however many Ridley Scott movies I've went to and been disappointed at.
Yeah, the thing is, I feel like this trailer, and this is the problem about actually these trailers and really lots of trailers I could even go with, because I might start doing, you know, start avoiding lots of trailers. Is I feel like it revealed. Like if you've seen the first one, you got an idea where they're going. But I feel like this trailer just went like, here's the entire plot.
They got to do that so often in movies these days, especially if they're like really big budget.
Yeah, but this one, you know, being a sequel, you don't, you know, people are going to watch this.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you needed to reveal so much to try to get people in. Kind of like when, you know, New Hope came out, or not, Star Wars Episode 7, when I was just like, I'm tired of seeing things.
Yeah, I usually, if there's some movie that's announced that I want to see, I usually try not to watch the trailer if I know I'm already going to go see it. I don't really know, like, I guess they could start showing less in trailers, but if you go back to, like, the... You know, I guess that's always been a problem with trailers, because so many movies, like, they give you, like, the entire pitch for the movie, and, like, they used to do voiceovers, like, in the 70s for what a movie is about, and you knew exactly what to expect when you went into it. They just didn't show you everything, but they told you what was going to happen, which I think someone eventually realized, oh, hey, that's bad for film, because you're supposed to show, not tell. Mm-hmm. And we kind of have that now, but now they're showing us everything. So I think maybe the solution is not show us anything, but then we end up with stuff like the... like the trailer for Dunkirk,
mm-hmm.
which good movie, terrible trailer, really bad trailer.
Well, you also have like World of Tomorrow. The idea they didn't want to show too much because it would reveal too much, and by not showing enough, nobody was interested in it.
I didn't actually even go see it. Was it any good?
I have to admit, I haven't seen it either. I've heard it's good.
Yeah, I sort of thought, oh, hey, George Clooney, I'll go see it. It's got him in it, and then I never did.
Yeah. It was an interesting idea.
Yeah. And I'm glad that ride that they tore down finally got a movie nobody went to go see.
Yeah. Yeah, there's those. Actually, among with trailers that show... Okay, this is one... They can show, and I don't care as much about what they show, and I might watch trailers I might watch. It's Ready Player One.
Oh yeah, I didn't even see that in the show notes. I saw the trailer for that, and it made me less excited at the prospect of seeing it after I saw the trailer. Yeah, because it was weird that it was just like nothing but Warner Brothers intellectual property jumping around, getting blown up by a dude wearing a HTC Vive.
I don't know if all that is Warner Brothers.
Most of it was. I mean, they had like Freddy Krueger and like the Iron Giant and stuff like that. But I don't know. Like I'm kind of a hard time suspending disbelief where they've got that problem, because like, I mean, Wreck-It Ralph to some extent had that problem. But they're lucky that the IPs that they were trying to secure were dirt cheap, and most of the companies that held them were like basically. Will license any single product. So, like, Wreck-It Ralph got away with having, like, a huge, like, swatch of IPs to work with. But where they're digging into, like, the nostalgia, but Warner Brothers is only, like, looking at its own vault, that's a little distracting, but getting over that really minor point, I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy the movie if it's close to the book. Because I kind of blocked out that I'd started reading the book. Because there's one point I just, like, tapped out while I'm like, it's a Wikipedia article! And then the same thing with Armada happened to me. Both me and Jamie tried to get through Armada as an audiobook, and yeah, both of us tapped out like an hour in.
See, and I did have to. I ended up reading Ready Player One, but I for Armada, I think I just was timing, so I wasn't able to actually read it, and I ended up doing the an audiobook on that one. That one I was able to make it through. It was a little different, but I thought it was an interesting idea.
Didn't Will Wheaton do the voiceover for it?
Yes. But...
That's the one we listened to, too, for Armada, or tried to.
Well, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, but with Armada, because we're going to talk about the Polybius.
Yes. And hopefully. If we got time.
Yeah, but that kind of, like, having this machine that doesn't really exist, that's kind of the idea behind training, like, they use that idea in...
Like the last Starfighter?
Yeah, like that too. Actually, a lot of people are comparing it to Last Starfighter with that type of idea.
Yeah, there's an article I read that... I wish I had it up in front of me. I'll see if it's sticking in the show notes. Where someone talked about, like, parts of... And they're basing it more off of Armada and less off of and I don't think they're even really talking about Ready Player One, other than just mentioning that there's a similar book that came out before it. And they said that the callbacks got drier and more reference like in Armada over Ready Player One, and is more just like the author of the article kind of criticized it for it being just nothing but callbacks for the sake of callbacks, but didn't, like, evoke any feelings for what that nostalgia was about. It was just more being impressed at, like, trivia, which, when you're reading it in book form, is, I guess, a little less impressive than if there's, like, a person having that knowledge and, like, reciting it to you, which... I guess if you're listening to Geeks or Wired, that's maybe that's your thing, but it didn't, like... I can agree, like, the reason that Armada was a turnoff for me was just encyclopedic callbacks to trivia of, like, geek nostalgia just didn't do anything for them without, like, that emotional context of, like, this is why I like The Last Starfighter, instead of, like, trying to set up the conditions that made Last Starfighter a compelling movie.
Yeah. I was remembering some of the stuff in it. So it is not all WB franchised. Because the bike is... But a lot of people are saying it's from Tron. It is not a Tron bike. It is from Akira.
Oh. Are you sure that WB doesn't have distribution rights for Akira?
Maybe.
I have no idea. I was going to say, I thought it was Toho. No, Toho doesn't have that. Akira.
Yeah, no, I feel good.
Yeah, Toho bought the rights for Akira.
Yeah, they're going to be making it into a real movie someday.
I don't know how I feel about that, because that could be really good or just terrible. Like, I want to say the Wachowski brothers would have some kind of input there that can make it great, because it is kind of a noir idea. It's like dystopic, and like, you think, like, it'd be good pairing for the Matrix guys, but the last anime they adapted was Speed Racer. So I don't know if they would actually, if, like, in my dream team of who would adapt Akira, if they'd do a very good job.
Yeah, but I also look at what they do with Sense8. Like, I could see that mentality of, like, jumping around, especially a lot of mental connection. And so it shows for the manga, the English publisher was AUS Madman Entertainment. I don't think WB owns it.
It's not immediately apparent on Google.
Yeah. And if anyone's bought the rights recently or done anything, and even finding out if there's ever going to live action, that's one of those, we're going to do it one day, right?
There we go. Apparently, Akira is owned by Warner Brothers.
Oh.
Or the movie rights for it. I just found an article from comicbook.com. Warner Brothers reportedly eyeing new directors for the live-action Akira film.
Oh, there you go.
So
yeah, see, the movie just won't quite, you know, die. And then, like, we, even the Iron Giant that was in it, where that was, you know, it was, that wasn't in the book. So I don't know. They are bringing in character. You're saying hopefully they don't stick close to the book. They'll probably stick close-ish. Like, if you've read the book, you know what's going to happen overall, but...
I think one of the things that irritated me about the... and maybe this is just an example of Klein's work is going to adapt a little bit better to film than it did to book. He doesn't have to go into, like, exhaustive depth and description of... and, like, explain, like, what a reference comes from. They can just have it on screen because the people that are going to care about it will just notice it. And the people that don't care about it, it's a set piece. It'd be weird if there's like a voiceover documentary style explaining like where Freddy Krueger first appeared on film and stuff like that.
Yeah. Also, they did have Duke Nukem in it.
Yeah. Oh man, I'll bet they paid a lot for those rights.
I know.
Actually, you know, I think WB does own the rights to Duke Nukem already.
Oh wow!
Yeah, because I think WB Games is the ones that they published Duke Nukem Forever. I could be wrong with that, but I remember seeing a WB logo when I played Duke Nukem Forever.
Wouldn't totally doubt it.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure they paid a ton for that stinker. they probably got paid to take it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they should just make a Duke Nukem movie instead.
They probably should. Because that's one of the scenes where when he shoots Freddy Krueger, he actually shoots Duke Nukem just before that.
If they got like Ron Perlman to play Duke Nukem and it was more or less just like a Dukesploitation movie, that'd be so good. Get like Tarantino direct it. It's like a grindhouse and do like a grindhouse style flick.
that actually probably would be probably
yeah
better
sounds
than
pretty game. Good
yeah. I'm trying to think of
do better, Warner Brothers. You can make this.
Yes, you can. You got it. Well, that's the thing. I'm not even sure. Like, I was looking at who's made all the Friday 13th. Oh, that's Friday 13th. I'm thinking it's supposed to be Nightmare on Elm Street. I went the wrong direction.
Oh.
The wrong bad guy.
This is terrible, but I tend to conflate them. Like, I'll type into Google once. I'm like, ah, crap. It's inexcusable because I've watched all the movies.
Okay.
I know which ones I even like, but yeah, I was conflate Halloween 2 and Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street.
But that's like have you seen Baby Driver yet? That where it's from the commercials where they're like they need the Mike Myers Halloween mask so they can rob the bank, and he gets the Mike Myers Austin Powers Halloween mask. Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street, at least the third one, was New Line Cinema. So WB may own it now, but...
it's okay.
It wasn't always there.
They're clearly cherry-picking from IPs that are accessible to them.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, like, I mean, they could just, like, they don't have to do... I don't know. I guess they're gonna get nerds pissed off at them if they don't actually use authentic IPs. But it feels like if the plot of the movie is standing on just references, I mean, maybe that's a problem. Because like, I mean, they could just like make stuff up. Because like, even like I'll use another movie that made a lot of references to other games' IPs. Wreck-It Ralph established like a couple of just made up IPs that were compelling and like carry the plot. Most of that movie, despite being about video games, actually didn't even touch the touch IPs. So I'm hoping that's just background action in the trailers just to get the Ready Player One fans excited for something like that. And then there's like the movie has more of a leg to stand on than it's just like, can you name all the references? We've got bingo cards.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing about like I think with the video games is some of those franchises are still being used. Well, with the movies and some of the other 80s stuff that they're going to be referencing have been out of, you know, no one's been making money off of these for 30, 40 years.
Which is kind of tragic when you think about it. Why isn't there another Iron Giant movie?
Well, that's a 90s one, though, technically. Yeah. That is a late 90s movie.
They should make another Iron Giant.
Well, Vin Diesel's busy doing Groot, so.
Yeah, they don't have to have Vin Diesel do that. Anybody can say, rock, tree.
You must bring Vin Diesel back.
Vin Diesel could knock that out of that voice work in a day. Like, the giant had like three lines.
Well, he's going to have learned more. You know, all of his body parts coming together, he'll have picked up so much more.
And.
Yep. Exactly. Gun bad.
I like how Vin Diesel's like, actually, you know, I take it back. I was going to say Vin Diesel's most recognizable roles are just single word grunts. But he made sentences in the Fast and the Furious series, so.
And he was good in, you know, Pitch Black and.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, no one really recognizes him from that. Like, and that's a good movie, but just nobody recognizes him from Pitch Black. It's always, oh, yeah, Fast and the Furious or Groot.
Yeah, it was because of what he's done recently. Yeah, even more so, people, you go like, oh, he was in Saving Private Ryan. People are like, wait, what?
Yeah, nobody remembers that. It's really weird. He wasn't on screen very much, but he was there.
He was on half the movie.
You didn't see him very much?
Yeah.
I remember seeing him much. Like, I remember the shootout near the bridge, and like other than that, I don't remember him having like any lines.
Okay, I guess, I remember him telling the kid he got lucky that the bullet bounced off his helmet before the kid got shot.
I need to go back and watch that movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's usually a movie that people go back and watch. They're like, oh, I know these people now. They're famous now. There's more than just Tom Hanks in this movie.
It's a good thing we saved Ryan. Otherwise, their careers would have never happened.
Yeah. what else we got? Actually, something else that has a very 80s theme is the new Thor Ragnarok movie.
Yeah, I couldn't gather what the 80s... I mean, I dig it, but like what the 80s aesthetic on the title cards and the soundtrack was about. I mean, it's cool, but like I don't know what the connection was. Was Ragnarok like originally... was that like a plotline in the 80s?
I'm not sure.
Like not in the Marvel Universe, but like when the comics were released?
Yeah.
Because I mean, that sounds like vaguely like maybe like a 90s plot line when they're like really trying to dig. Well, I guess they're digging deep in the Thor like Stan universe in like the 80s. So maybe it was originally. Hold on, Google to the rescue.
Ragnarok first appeared in Civil War 3 on 2006.
Oh, jeez.
Wait, but it says not to be confused with Thor Ragnarok. Nope, that's the movie. Ragnarok is a fictional super villain. So, no.
I guess they're just going to just give it like an 80s aesthetic for some reason.
Why not? Because, you know, actually this one happened in the 80s, but don't get confused that this is after the last one, which happened in 2016. But...
I've got the Thor Ragnarok Wikipedia page open, and I saw Benedict Cumberbatch, and I'm like, he wasn't in a Marvel movie. And I'm like, oh wait, he was just in that bad one, Doctor Strange.
But the cape took it, you know, the entire storyline from him.
That it, like the next Doctor Strange movie isn't, it doesn't even have Benedict Cumberbatch, and that's just the cape.
Yep. Actually, that's just what the sequel is. Doctor Strange, the cape.
They could have like a crossover movie. It's the cape and Meow Meow, and they go out and they fight crime together.
Except for Meow Meow's destroyed. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
I guess Odin can make another one. He has made multiple hammers.
Or they could do a prequel. And nobody really dies in comics, including hammers.
True.
I thought this trailer looked better. The first trailer for Thor Ragnarok looked really gross. I was very, very not happy with it. But this one actually looked a little better. I'm a little happier with this one.
Yeah, it was definitely very, you know, hey, this is, you know, a teaser trailer. Be happy.
You know, maybe this is the counterpoint to showing you everything in the movie. Because, like, if they show you everything in the movie, like, if they didn't do this, I wouldn't have any interest in seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something to that. Like in some cases, it's okay.
I did like that they brought in smart talking Hulk, which is actually the most dangerous character in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, they basically took the Hulk's weakness that he's stupid and just, like, put it away.
Mm-hmm. Because that, since he's talking and everything, you know, though the he did feel very Drax the Destroyer style in that conversation. Yeah. But when he starts talking, that he kind of has that, he has his brain, so he is, you know, Hulk the nuclear physicist.
I hope they do like a Flowers for Algernon style subplot where he just gets dumber as time goes on. Pretty great.
Well, they might be building him up for, because I feel like this is a lot of the prep for
Infinity Wars.
A Planet Hulk.
Oh, do you think they could do a Planet Hulk movie before? Do you think they're going to get one done at all?
Well, I think it's going to depend on how well this one does and where it's being, and you know, everyone's liking it. That's what the worry was, is could they do it? And that's kind of what they were doing, is that he has been fighting. He just ran away, and he's been doing his thing as Mad Hulk.
Making a Hulk movie is, like, just a risky proposition. Like, they've tried that so many times.
Well, that's the problem with, you know, Hulk and Superman. You know, these characters are so strong and so invincible. Like, how do they break things? How do they win? They hit harder. And, you know, how do you beat them? Technically can't. They are the unstoppable item, so which means they can't grow as a character, therefore they're boring individually.
I also like the angle that Ang Lee's Hulk was taking when it was like him versus like the army, because it was less about like him as a superhero, as more that like there is this unstoppable force, and like that's the thing that everyone's against. So I kind of like that from like just a, like a disaster movie perspective, but you're right. You can't make like you can't make a franchise off of like one disaster that keeps happening over and over again every time a guy stubs his toe.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen. There could be like he kicks like an end table hard enough, and then like a whole block's leveled.
Yeah, he's homeless again, and his insurance rates go through the roof, along with him.
All this furniture is on wheels, so it just moves when he kicks it.
Let's see, what else?
No toe stubbing. Or, like, just baby-proof corners of stuff. Just put, like, foam, like, 6 inches up on everything.
Yeah. Get a little soft blanket. So, in other words, if he ends up, you know, running into it or brushing against it, it actually calms him down. It's like, oh, this is soft and nice. I want to cuddle. Cuddle the end table. All right.
Speaking of cuddling, there's another movie on our list that involves some cuddling, The Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best segue I could find to any of the other movies on the list.
This actually, I didn't know what to expect. I had never heard of it. I looked it up and saw it.
Yeah, I didn't know what Guillermo del Toro was working on. And it looks pretty good. I'm actually kind of digging it. Looks like the trailer on YouTube kind of pitches it as like a more of a fairy tale type story, and yeah, you can tell like just from the narration and exposition in the trailer, it's going to kind of feel like that. And they give away like the entire movie in the trailer, but I mean, if it's going to be based on a fairy tale, you can probably guess what's going to happen.
Yeah, it did seem a little bit almost touching on the franchise of the monster movies that are trying to come out. So, unfortunately, I think this is going to be a better, monster from the Black Lagoon than Universal is going to make.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't wait to see, like, the last movie in that series. It's going to be a mess.
Oh, for the monster movies?
Yeah, for the Universal monster movies.
I don't know.
With that King Kong Avengers, that's going to be great.
Oh, no, don't mix up the King Kong. King Kong is the big monster movies, and that's not the Universal. I'm talking about the Dracula and Werewolf.
That's right. I forgot they're doing that.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm talking about...
That's going to be pretty great when Count Dracula is having to fight the Invisible Man. That's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like Universal is really trying to go like, look, you know, Disney's doing it with Marvel. We can, and Star Wars. We could, and DC even got something together finally. We could totally do this. okay, we're sucking it up just like DC. Let's just keep throwing money at this. We already got like three more movies being made right now.
I kind of wonder, what if, because Dracula is Marvel Universe canon, so it'd be pretty great if they just brought Dracula over to like the Marvel Universe and just humiliated him on camera just over and over again. Universal couldn't do anything about it.
Well, technically, all of those monsters are open for anybody to use.
Yeah, there's like this weird Nintendo court case that was over Donkey Kong that weirdly ended up in the naming of Kirby, the video game character. It's very weird. I'll see if I can find a link to it in the show notes, and stick it in the show notes. But basically what happened is there's a court case where Universal sued Nintendo over Donkey Kong, saying they had the rights to it, and through some kind of legal witchcraft, Nintendo's attorney, who coincidentally was named Kirby, won the court case for them, and they named Kirby the video game character after him. I don't think the man plays video games or played video games, but there you go.
Uh-huh. Nintendo does a lot of stuff like that. It's like Mario.
Yeah, like, they're not too inspirational for names. Like, they make just these fantastic fantasy worlds that have incredible depth to them. But when it comes to naming people, it's like, would they be bothered with coming up with the last name, so they just make it the same name twice? Like, Link is Link, and Mario is Mario.
Well, don't you know the story behind the origin of the name Mario?
Yeah, their landlord. He's asking for rent for the commercial space they're renting out, and they didn't have any money, so they're like, hey, we'll put you in a video game. He's like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, you are now the most famous video game character ever.
Yeah, I wonder how that guy feels about that. He's got to be pretty old.
Yeah. If he's still around, he'd be like, I'm that Mario.
He actually does jump super high.
He actually can double jump. All right, so with the movies, though, we'll wrap that one with the Justice League. What do you think of the new trailer?
I thought it was... I don't know. I've been kind of negative about the Justice League in general, and this movie didn't really like sway me too much. But it didn't make like the movie look like it didn't make like the movie like I don't think it didn't lower my expectations or really change them that much. The Superman being dead is a wrinkle. I didn't catch that. Did he die in Batman v Superman?
Yes.
Okay. So that makes a little more sense. I thought they were just like picking up like, oh yeah, Superman's dead now.
Actually, so, you were the one that was so excited to say that on the podcast like a year ago.
This Superman's dead?
Yeah, we were like, we're going to spoiler territory, and the first word out of your mouth is, Superman dies!
I don't remember that.
Yes!
I think it must have blocked out portions of that movie.
It's okay. I'm a DC fan, and I liked Batman v Superman, but it is not the best movie ever. It's not the worst, I don't think, but some of that stuff was not good.
Yeah, I'm hoping like I don't want to say they learned their lesson with this one. I mean, people are going to be expecting something out of this. They're going to want basically Avengers, the characters they like from DC. So I don't know. Like, if they deliver on that, that's gonna make their fans happy. It's gonna probably make $1 bajillion.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think it's gonna make $1 bajillion no matter how good or bad it is.
Yeah, it can be absolute trash and make like just $1 bajillion. Like, yeah, probably literally $1 billion.
Actually, was it Wonder Woman just became the third largest WB movie of all time? It just knocked out the Harry Potter out of the top three mark.
Huh.
So number two and number one are Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
Oh. Well, good for them. They're good movies.
Yeah. So, which means the top three movies are DC movies. Which means I don't think CW is going to stop throwing money at comic book movies for a while.
No, that's going to keep going for a long time. Like, superhero movies are going to basically be the westerns of like the teens and the noughties.
And I can see that, but I also can see that the other thing is it could even stick around because we have so much you know, we can do, and so there's so much media you can throw things on. Actually, even the segue in this with Netflix, where you can, you know, they have, you can go on Netflix, you can go to movies, you can, you get TV shows. There's just so many things with, what's it, the movie Netflix, there's also the trailer for Stranger Things.
I actually did get excited about this. I wasn't super excited at the idea of there being a Stranger Things 2. I thought it wrapped up well enough. I mean, I wanted more, but I was okay with what it was. The trailer, I thought, actually pretty good. I'm glad that it's still about the same time, because I heard somewhere that for the next season of Stranger Things, they were thinking about making it in the 90s.
I did hear about that initially.
That kind of stinks, because everyone likes the kids. They don't want to lose them. Like, they were kind of the momentum for that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you hear weird thumping, the cat will not stop messing with a box on the floor.
The cat and the box.
I'm going to tip him in there and just send him to Abu Dhabi normal style.
Oh, yeah. So, you were also talking about, before we started recording, that seeing Stranger Things, you kind of thought it was odd.
Oh, yeah. As a trailer? It's a weird thing to have, like, a Comic-Con, like, panel and trailer to go with this, because it still doesn't click that Netflix is, like, it seems like it's fake TV, just because it doesn't air on, like, network television or cable. But, I mean, I'm going to go on a limb here and say more people are probably watching Stranger Things than most network shows, so I guess it's achieved, like, Comic-Con trailer worthiness. It's just funny seeing that, like, along with, like, multi-million dollar movies and, like, the sequel to Blade Runner and, like, another Marvel movie, another DC's next biggest hugest movie, and then like a streaming direct-to-streaming TV series is along with them. But a ton of people watch Stranger Things.
Well, and I think that's why, like, Netflix has really thrown a lot of stuff into trying to get people to recognize this. That's why they put money, became a competitor with the awards and everything. And yeah, I can see with that, where I've walked away from, you know, regular television for the most part. You know, I stream, I have my subscriptions.
Yeah, I don't really know anybody that watches real television, besides, like, my mom.
Yeah.
Actually, my brother has cable. That kind of freaked me out when I walked in his house and saw ESPN on.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was like, oh, geez, Grandpa. How's that working for you? Actually, I didn't say anything. I was slightly jealous.
Well, you don't even have to get cable to get ESPN anymore. You can get an internet subscription to, like, I think Sling has it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he might be more hip to streaming services than I am. He could just be like, aha, and then show me his complete lack of coax cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about the new Stranger Things. Like, if it's just more of the same, I'm totally okay with that. The one thing I don't want them to do is, like, just become a self-referential mess of just, like, repeating stuff from the first season. But if it carries over the mood of the first season and, like, the same type of plot line, I'd be okay with that. Like, that's a thing that seems like it'd be perennial.
Yeah.
They could take, like, I mean, I think that's some things that you made trashy shows like Dexter good, because, like, it wasn't just, like, self-referential callbacks. Like, there was a struggle for the entire season. You felt like you're part of, like, this this anti-hero's journey. In this case, hero's journey.
Yeah. And I think the other thing they're also doing, because even with the trailer, I felt like there was still a lot, like, with Ready Player One, there's a lot of this 80s reference pop culture.
I like the way they do it more than the Klein's books did it. Just because it's there, but it doesn't really, like, affect anything. Like, it's just, like, a thing that's happening. Like, it doesn't really influence the plot that much. The only time they ever really did that in the first season in terms of, like, influencing the plot was Dungeons and Dragons was sort of a running metaphor for this fantasy world, which you might disagree with me, but it felt like Stephen King mysticism. Like, it felt like there's this very mundane thing that had more power than it imbued into it than you actually thought it would, which made it seem sort of real because it's something that people can sort of identify with or at the very least know of. So, like, this mundane thing has, like, power beyond what you originally thought it did. Yeah. Instead of it just being like, oh man, we're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they at least carry that forward, and it seems like they might do that with the Ghostbusters reference, where they actually caught some sort of spirit in a cardboard ghost trap. I kind of like that. I'm hoping they do keep doing like Stephen King style mysticism for like the way the kids interact with the Upside Down, but then keep up like the government conspiracy X-Files like intrigue. Because that's a great A and B plot for the first season. So if they don't want to just like regurgitate the exact same A and B plots, like as long as they keep like those same plot elements, I think it'll actually be pretty fun. Because it dart back and forth between what is ostensibly a better version of It,
yeah,
Stephen King's It, and also the X-Files, and just go back and forth between those plot lines.
And also the other thing that I think this will evolve it a little more is that more people know of the Upside Down.
Yeah, they're not going to spend like 6 episodes explaining it, so they just dumped it right in the trailer.
Yeah, and they're not going to like, oh, she's just a crazy mom that's acting crazy because she thinks she's hearing her child. Which, honestly, a lot of people give her, you know, a hard time about it, or the idea. Like, no, you went exactly what a parent would do, I would think.
Yeah, Winona Ryder was so good in that. Like, I love the kids in it, but she is kind of my favorite kid. She is my favorite character in the series because, like, she kind of, like, eventually, like, accepts what's going on and, like, tries to rationalize and deal with it. Which, that really felt, made her feel, like, more heroic than Sheriff Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping, they don't feel the need to regurgitate, like, what happened in the last... In the last season, which Netflix is usually really good about that. I'm hoping they don't feel like the need to like cater to people who are just dropping in the middle, because I mean the whole series is going to be available there. They don't have to do it.
Yeah, I feel like Netflix doesn't really ever need to do that, or has really ever done that. They've just been like, "We're in. Did you miss something? Well, it's literally right there.
Yeah,
or go ask your friends.
Go back a couple of episodes. It'll be fine."
Mm-hmm.
And they. I noticed, like, the reason I bring that up is I noticed the first episode of Game of Thrones this season was just basically loaded with, like, catch-up material.
Well, there was a lot of that, but there was even stuff that, like, I didn't even realize was a reference. Like, the house they ended up staying at, where they're like, oh, these people don't want us here, we should just leave. That was back to, like, what, season 2, where... he was going to be hired to protect these people because people kept on stealing their stuff. He took their food and gold, and he's like, you guys are going
to
die.
Oh, yeah, with the hound rolling up to that house.
Yeah, that was a reference that I totally forgot about until I was looking up something, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that was...
Unless, the only way they could... That was actually a pretty good callback they did, because the only other way they could tip fans off of this generic stone hut was that hut, is that they had, like, a pile of dead chickens on the table because the hound ate them all.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only other way they could clue that off. And like a crayon drawing of like Arya Stark hanging up on the wall or something. Like, there's no way they could come up with that otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I felt like that was pretty welcome, but yeah, I'm hoping Netflix avoids that. Cause like there are other serial dramas that have gone on for multiple seasons. I feel like they've had a good track record of that. Like with BoJack Horseman, like the first episode might have like a few references, but like it's not going to feel like it's homework or it has to like slow down for you. Like it's just expecting you'll be keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope anyway. Either way, I'm very excited for the trailer. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
Did they ever get what's her name? The girl with the glasses. Did they ever get her out of there?
You're talking about...
In Stranger Things. What was her name?
She had
the huge nerd glasses. She's the dorky friend of the
dead.
The it girl.
She's dead.
Oh, she is? Ah, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, the thing killed her.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. Sorry.
Why'd she have to die? Everyone loved her. She was like the front page of Tumblr for like a month.
I know, she was honestly probably the one that should have survived for a scary movie genre with the mentality, especially where they kind of were following the rules. She was literally the one that should have survived more than just as much as the boys.
Yeah.
Because she was the innocent virgin.
Yeah, but they also did they followed the slasher movie convention with the setup of the montage where they set up the traps for the monster in the house. By the way, spoilers. Actually, you know, it's been out for a year. We can talk about spoilers on Stranger Things. If you haven't watched it, shame on you.
Go watch it.
when they set up the traps in the monster house, like generally, if you're setting up like a montage like that, it's the boyfriend and the girlfriend. It's going to pay off, and they'll. Actually, you know what? I have a hard time coming up with an example that it felt natural, but I was going to call back to Lost Boys. The problem is the girl in Lost Boys was actually the queen vampire, so
that didn't work out very well. That's also the other thing that's always interesting.
That'd be great if the It Girl in Stranger Things was actually the monster.
That would have been interesting.
Actually been terrible, anyway.
Yeah. And I don't really think they would have done it, because it went after the blood.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Oh, such a good series. I need to go back and watch that before they air the new season. It gave me a reason to keep Netflix too, because like the only other thing I had to look forward to is season 2 of Castlevania. So I'm glad I got this to look forward to too.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was thinking about, that because like HBO with Game of Thrones, like it very much has this like, oh well, you have a show that I will watch. At Netflix, I always have this like general thing of stuff going on, because I haven't been burning through my shows nearly like I used to.
I'm having a hard time finding anything on Netflix too. It's been real dry, because about the only thing on Netflix I cared about was BoJack Horseman, Castlevania, and Stranger Things.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not that I can't find anything. It's just like I'm kind of like trickling through Netflix now. I'm at a point where I've started like, you know, reaching in and you know finding out, oh, this is on here, or I only watched like half of this show and I am slightly interested where it's going.
You're trying to dig down for like deep cuts, like with the really weird parts of Netflix.
Well, there's that, but there's also like I never finished watching Iron Fist, and I'm not sure if I want to, but it's kind of like, you know, I want to watch the new, you know, Marvel show, and you know, which also had a trailer, but I'm kind of like, do I need to? Am I good with the rest of them?
Can I just skip past this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I feel like a Daredevil could have been a movie. Like it was well done, but I had a really hard time like staying motivated to get past like the second episode.
On which season? Just all together?
On the first season.
Oh, okay.
Like I wanted that to be a movie, but yeah, I just like I liked what I saw, but I looked at like the however many hours are left of the first season. I'm like, eh, no.
The second one was definitely better.
It's got Punisher, so.
Yeah. What else?
Punisher's great, even when he's terrible.
Yeah.
Even with just a crappy, awful plot line, he's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. We should probably get our sponsor in with AMC Pine Ridge 11. And they're, with all AMC theaters, they have their subs program. And that's the spot. It is great. Just go. Get it. Yep, tons of bonuses.
I wish I had an AMC where I live. I got Regal.
Ah.
Yep.
I know. We actually, see, I went to the movie last time and I had points, so I barely spent money. And it was nice.
Ah, dang. Yeah, I still have my MC card in my wallet. I should just like fly over to Pokey and go see a flick.
Yeah. Let's go get something. what else? Yeah, we actually did not... Wait and see. We have, like, a few minutes. We're almost at the hour. more pretty much the hour. Should we talk about much the hour. Yeah, should we talk about the Polybius?
Sure. This is kind of old news, but I think it was like a couple weeks ago. Trent Reznor released a teaser for his new EP coming out. I can't remember what it's called, but if you look Trent Reznor Polybius, you'll find it. And there's this video game that I'll put a pin in this, but there's a video game that is an urban legend that had this reputation for making kids go crazy. That developer Llamasoft built a PS4 game for, and Trent Reznor was like, "Oh, hey, this is a great game. Can I like do like a music video with your game?" And he's like, "Sure." Being like all nerds, he's very much into Nine Inch Nails and just gladly obliged. And they produced a really cool trailer, and the way they did it was kind of awesome. I think I stuck a link to like how that whole thing went down. It's just like he asked him like Twitter to make a special build of the game that he could like put song lyrics into and it pop up on the screen, which sounds a little lame, but it's kind of stylized as like a 1980s vector game, so like that's kind of consistent with the style of the time. And yeah, the video is like totally great, but yeah, it came out of more or less like, oh man, I like your game, I want to make a music video out of it. So that came up. But if you're not familiar with the concept of Polybius, there's this ongoing urban legend of this video game that existed in the Portland area during like the early to mid 80s, that kids would play and go insane, or they'd get like pounding headaches and like start, and like they would like their behavior would change, or they'd even like die. And men in black suits with sunglasses from the government came by and would like menace the arcades that these Polybius cabinets are at. And they eventually one day came by and took them away. So it's been researched basically to death, and it's more or less just completely fake, except every part of it has like some grain of it, has like some grain of truth in it. And I linked a talk in the show notes by a guy named Joe Strecker. He's a Portland Mercury writer, and it's like a half hour long talk, but he basically goes over the Polybius urban legend. It's actually really fun to watch. Because basically everything that happened that is described about Polybius happened, but with a different game or under slightly different circumstances. It just, everyone glued it together into like this one conspiracy, even though every part of it actually did happen, including like the Men in Black showing up and like hauling machines away.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Like Portland apparently used to have a mob that was a pinball mob. And like the FBI came to like investigate like pinball halls and like try to like round up the operators that were running pinball games, because pinball games used to be part of like used to be like gambling machines. So like Portland specifically has a weird history with arcades being like places of ill repute and like criminality. So it's a really great talk. I went to it in 2013, and I happen to remember when I saw Polybius in the show notes, and I thought I'd give it a mention because it's such a good talk.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that we'll put that in the show notes and all that link. But yeah. That sounds really cool. That's what I was saying, like that's why I was thinking you might like our motto or well that with the idea, but you know, that's just one point of the entire book.
Oh, you mentioned Polybius in Armada?
No. Like the idea of the game, having the game, the Men in Black end up.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if Last Starfighter came out before Polybius allegedly did, because I think Polybius allegedly came out in 1981, which I'm not sure when Last Starfighter came out. I think it's about the same time.
I thought it was a later 80.
84. So yeah, I was thinking it was like about 1981, but it came out like about mid. So yeah.
But that's that could also... That's
that
the
guy,
other thing.
That got glued into the Polybius legend, too.
Yeah, I was going to say that could have been the, you know, some of the idea behind it and made it grow or kind of evolve its story.
It probably added fuel to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the... I described Llamasoft's Polybius, but I've never actually played it. As far as I know, it's just kind of an homage to what Polybius is rumored to be. Hint, it's rumored to be basically Tempest. So if you played Tempest, you've more or less had that experience, apparently.
Hmm.
Tempest is a good game. You ever play Tempest?
Never played Tempest.
Ah, it's fun. You got like this spinner knob and it makes your spaceship go like around a tube, and you shoot stuff at the end of the tube. So it's kind of like a, it's kind of three-dimensional Space Invaders, but like in a wireframe.
Oh, I do remember seeing it. I've never played it. Actually, wasn't it? No, I feel like this was also part of the one of the Tron games, wasn't it?
Tron had a spinner, but I don't know if the if what game mode it was used for. I don't know if Tron did have a spinner. Now I think about it.
I think I remember something, either whether it's in the movie or whether, because I remember I actually played the Tron arcade, and there was like a bunch of various parts you can play.
Tron totally has a spinner on it. It's got like this big ugly joystick on it, which I kind of remember because every time I try to play Tron, the joystick's broken. So I don't usually have a good experience with it, but yeah, it totally has a spinner on the left. I don't know what it's used for. It's probably a similar game. I mean, the games that had spinners were all kind of the same. That you more or less moved a thing left and right, and that thing moved the thing.
Yeah.
I think Atari Centipede on the 2600 had a spinner, too. I don't know how that worked. I never played a Centipede on the 2600. It looked really boring.
I think you played Centipede on the Commodore 64.
Did you have the ball for it, or you have to use a joystick or keys?
We ended up building a joystick. That's how nerdy I am.
I played a Centipede on an arcade stick for a while, and I actually didn't know better, like that there's a trackball, like that was originally how it was played. So I was playing like this. I think it's for Wreck-It Ralph promotion that the Pine Ridge 10 was doing, and we just download like a MAME ROM for Centipede, so we could practice up for this contest for Wreck-It Ralph that they had like Centipede set up, and like you could feasibly win some kind of prize if you played Centipede really well. I got there, I'm like, oh dang, this thing is a trackball, yo, and I had like no idea how to play it. Like I made my spaceship just go way too fast and run into stuff. I think Jamie actually got the record that day. She was a lot better at it than I was.
Yeah. I think I played it a couple times because they were like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, I'm not going to win.
Centipede's a fun game. Fun fact, it's actually designed by a woman. It's like one of the earliest arcade games at Atari that was fully designed and developed by a woman.
Oh, nice. So many of the great things. Yeah. All right. I guess we probably should wrap it up.
Get it on like Diddy Kong.
I'm the Donkey Kong champion. Don't quote me on that.